Series on healing is number 40, and I've entitled it Know What to Expect When You Pray. A lot of people don't know exactly what to expect. There's some confusion here, and I'd like to clear that up. Now, just to look at your little diagram here, we're on knowing how to put God's healing power to work in your body. And tonight's lesson is going to be the middle one. Power is applied by faith, prayer, and action. Now remember, power becomes available with the promise. Power comes on the scene as the word preached. Power is applied. Now this is important. See, we found out, you know, just because somebody's preaching the word, unless this power gets inside the person needing healing, it's not going to do any good. Now, we're going to discuss that tonight in some detail, how this works. Okay, now I just want you to review this a little bit. The power process. The power is available in the word promises. We know that. We've talked about that. Power comes on the scene when the word is preached. Power is applied when we pray or believe the promise. And we still aren't home yet. Next, we need to have power working, continuing to work. Just because it's applied, just because you start the engine in your car and drive 5 feet and you're going to the grocery store, doesn't mean you're done yet. You've got to continue applying that power until what you want is accomplished. And that's in the case of healing, it's a manifestation. So you have to maintain that prayer, what you prayer, and not invalidate it through a bad confession or something else. We'll talk about that eventually too. And if you let the power continue to work long enough, the healing manifestation will always follow, because we have a promise in God's word. And this is where these next two steps we're going to be talking about in this couple weeks is where most people lose it if they don't get healed. This is where it is. So first of all, let me just give a little analogy here. Let's just say that we wanted to make a trip to Los Angeles, okay? We wanted to get a car and drive to Los Angeles, okay? We don't have a car, let's say.
We use Karen's scooter.
Use Karen's scooter. That'd be a long trip. What's it go, 4 miles an hour, Karen?
4.5 miles.
4.5 miles an hour. Well, that's one way to get there, though.
Yep, better than walking.
All right, let's say we're going to use a scooter or something. Whatever we use, car, whatever. Somehow, we've got to get, let's say we don't have a car. All right, are cars available?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, I don't have a car,
that's
but
right.
They are available. Where are they available?
Car dealership.
A car dealership. So there are cars available to make the trip. Now, I've got to get that car on the scene, don't I, before
yes.
It's going to do me any good. All right, what do I do to get on the scene? I have to go buy the car or rent the car, fuel up the car, okay, get it all fueled up. That's bringing it on the scene, getting it ready. Fueled, ready to go. We got to purchase it, fuel it, get it ready. All right, now, the next step. Still, we're not on our way yet, are we? We're only getting ready to go. Now, the next thing I got to do is turn the switch. Now, you're going to hear a little bit about the switch of faith tonight. I got to turn the switch on that car, start the engine, and actually put it in drive and start away from my house, okay? At that time, power for the first time has been applied to getting us to Los Angeles, all right? Now, what happens if I get down the road 50 miles and turn the switch off? I'm not going to get there, am I? So, not going to get there. So it's possible to stop this power that we've started up. It's the same way with healing power. Just because it's been applied to your body doesn't mean that it just stops right there and you look and see, I'm not there yet. You know, when you got in the car to go to Los Angeles, let's say, you don't go down the road 10 miles and say, you know, start looking around for Los Angeles. You know, it's not ready to be there yet, okay? It takes a little while to get there. You know, only kids do that. Only kids say, how much further is it?
Further.
You know, are we there yet? Mm-hmm. You know?
Just past going out the driveway.
You know, I was thinking about that today. I was thinking, you know, Your Honor, I was just trying to think of this analogy today, and I thought, you know, we're driving down the road, you know, we can shut the power down at any time. And I thought, that's what kids do when they say, are we there yet? You know, they're looking, we're on the way, but they're impatient, they're looking around, you know, and I thought, you know, there's an analogy here between kids and baby Christians, really. Baby Christians always want to say, are we there yet? You know, where's the manifestation? Where's the thing we're after here? You know, I just got prayed for, I don't see anything. See, that's looking to your own senses to see if anything happened. And that's not what we're supposed to do as Christians. We're supposed to look to the Word. So if we're going to get to Los Angeles, we not only have to bring the car on the scene, we have to start it up, put it in drive, drive away, and keep driving until we get there. Any time that we shut off that engine on the way there and don't restart it, we're not going to get to our destination. Now that's exactly the way it is with healing. I mean, we have the healing promise, we have the power applied as soon as we pray. A lot of people, now you need to realize this. Then we have the manifestation. Now I'd like to define manifestation here. Manifestation is when the thing we prayed for becomes apparent to at least one of our senses. Like for example, let's say you got prayed for some sort of a tumor or something. All right? And let's say it's on your arm where you can see it or something. Well, we pray. We lay hands on you. When we do that and pray in Jesus' name and lay hands on you, power is applied to the situation. You just put that healing in drive and start it off. Now, if you look at it right away and expect to see it go down immediately, it may not. It probably won't. But if you let that healing power continue to be active in your body through not invalidating what you prayed for, eventually you'll arrive at your destination. The problem we have is people turn the switch off before they get there. And they don't turn it back on again. They get discouraged. They think it's too long a trip.
You know? Distracted.
Hmm?
Distracted.
Or distracted. Or someone else tells them, oh my goodness, you know, that doesn't look any better. It looks worse to me. And they look at it, and they do like Peter did, and they say, my goodness, you know, it does look a little larger today. And they look at the wind like Peter did, and all of a sudden they begin to sink. That power begins to shut down. They turn off that switch, and everything just goes, Now, what do you need to do if you've done that? If you're in your car, and you get as far as Denver, and you're on the way to Los Angeles, and you turn the switch off, you don't sit there forever and say, I wonder why this car isn't running. Or you go into McDonald's or something like that, and you turn it off to go get a hamburger or a shake or something, you come back out, and you just sit in your car and say, I got a problem here. This car's not going to Los Angeles. You got to turn it back on, start it up, put it in drive, and get it moving again. That's what we should do, you know, instead of worrying about going for prayer after prayer after prayer to different people. Just start up your power. Just say, Father, I repent. I'm sorry. I got to looking at these circumstances instead of what your word says. And I got distracted for a while. I began to believe that, you know, just because the doctor said that nothing looked changed on my report, I began to think that nothing had changed. But it has, Father. It changed when we prayed and power was applied to the situation. I'm sorry, Father. I receive your promise again and get that thing started back up and that power applied again. That's what we need to do. And if you'll do that until that power has enough time to work in your body, the manifestation, in this case, arriving in Los Angeles, when the case we're really talking about is receiving the manifestation of our healing, it will come. But in the meantime, after you pray and before you see it, you're going to have to maintain or hold fast to what you originally believed when you prayed. Keep that switch turned on. Does everybody kind of understand what we're talking about here? There's all kinds of ways you can turn the switch of faith off. Hebrews 10:35 tells us, cast not away your confidence. Once you've prayed and you've believed God, don't cast it away. Because you can cast it away, and God knows it. And that's why he wrote it, cast not away your confidence, which has great potential for reward. But if you cast it away, you're not going to get to your destination, okay? Hebrews 4:14 tells us, hold fast to our confession. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, we're to look to things unseen, not to things seen. Now, here's a good example. If we look to what's seen, what would that be? Let's say in the case of healing, what would I be looking at if I'm looking to things seen?
What is?
What I can see with my
eyes,
hear with my ears, you know, smell with my nose, whatever. Anything available to my senses is looking to things seen. All right, I'm not to do that when I pray for healing. I'm to look to things unseen. What would that be?
God's word.
God's promise. That's what we're supposed to do. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by
sight.
See, God knew all along this was going to be a problem for us because we're so used to living in this sense knowledge realm that we're in. He knew there's going to be a big temptation to do as Peter did. Take his eyes off God's word, which was, in this case, come, and put his eyes on the wind and the waves and begin to sink. See, why is that in the Bible, do you think? Now, most things in the Bible that you see is a promise for the purpose of building faith in our hearts to receive that promise. But this isn't one of them. I mean, we don't need to walk on water. That promise really isn't in the Bible for us to walk on water. I mean, that episode. That episode has a different purpose. And the purpose of that, the only purpose it could be, is to show us how God's power works. Okay? It shows us that when God's power is applied to the situation, it's based on the word, what he said, come.
And it's to react.
What's that?
And we're to have a different reaction than what he had.
Right. We're not to take our eyes off the word and put it on the circumstances. In the case of healing, it would be the symptoms that are still there. But yet, we've prayed. Things have changed in the spirit realm, and they will eventually manifest in the physical realm if we'll continue to look to the word and not to the circumstances like Peter did. And when you begin to look at the circumstances and begin to say, oh my goodness, it looks bigger today, I guess it didn't work, what you do is you shut that power down and you begin to sink just like Peter did. And you got to get it started back up again.
Yeah, I think another one is when people say, I think he is healing me.
Yes.
Not that I know he is healing.
Right.
Because
see, that's not
I
faith.
I think it's just, to me, it's a little bit of doubting.
Yes, it is. You're right. See, the Word of God says we're to believe that we receive when we pray, not to think. Well, I think I did. Think means
maybe.
That's a good word. Maybe. See, it's got to be stronger than that. That's a good point. Another scripture, Galatians 5:6, faith worketh by what?
Hearing.
Faith cometh by hearing. That's true. But how does faith worketh by? Love. That's what Galatians 5:6 says. In other words, that tells us that if we get out of love, if we understood, I think, what it means to get out of love walk, we'd never do it. If we understood the effect it has on our physical health, on our financial well-being, everything else in our lives comes spiritually to a screeching halt when we get out of love. Because your faith won't work. That faith you applied to the situation when you prayed will become weak and it won't hold up over time. Because faith worketh by keeping in the love walk. Another scripture says for spouses, if we get in strife with one another, it says the Lord won't what our prayers. It will hinder our prayers and they won't be heard by God. So getting in strife can hinder our prayers. See, these things are all things I'm mentioning now are things that can shut that power down that was administered when we prayed. God's word tells us about all these things. And we have to make sure that if we get into one of these areas that we repent of it and get clear of it so we get that healing power working again. Okay? Another scripture that I found useful is Philippians 4:6. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with, you might know what the next word is? Thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In other words, once you've prayed, one good way of maintaining and holding fast your confession is to continue to thank God. Every time you think, thank you, Father, that when we prayed 2 nights ago or 1 month ago or whatever it was, that healing power was applied to my body, and it's working in there now mightily to bring about a cure in my body. Thank you, Father. That really is a good way of keeping your confession on track. And that's what the God's Word says. Be anxious for nothing. In other words, you go to the doctor, and he says, well, I don't see any change, but, you know, we're going to have to continue to take your medicine. Don't, you know, do that. But in the meantime, don't let that cause you to take your eyes off God's Word and look only at what the doctor says, or only at what your eyes tell you. And the one good way to do that is to begin to thank God. Thank you, Father, that your word takes precedence over what I can see with my eyes. I'm not moved by what I see, Father. I'm moved only by what your word tells. And your word says that by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And if I was, I'm healed. Father, that's good enough for me. You know, those kinds of things will keep the power working until the manifestation occurs. But you know what? How many people do that? We're talking about it tonight so we can do it. But you know, how many people do that? Not very many. How many people really get healed, divine healed by God? Unfortunately, not very many. So what we're to do is improve that. And God's Word has some very specific things to say about these things. Okay, so what is the switch of faith then? What I mean by the switch of faith is believing that power has applied and is working when you pray. Because it is. See, here's something this has helped me. This has helped me a lot. Because for a long time, I heard this scripture, and it's Mark 11:24. It says, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe," this is King James, "believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." So what I was trying very hard to do for things that I need, whether it's finances or healing or whatever, is to believe that I receive when I pray. But see, that's a little vague to me. I mean, if I need healing, or I need $500, to believe that I receive when I pray, it almost means I have to believe that I've got this $500 or whatever it is I need. And I don't have it yet. It's not in my hands. I can't use it yet. And so, when I begin to see what the Word of God said I was supposed to believe, it didn't say, "I believe I have the manifestation right now." What it really is saying is that I believe that when I pray, power has been applied to that situation. And it's working as of now to affect, in the case of healing, a healing, a cure, whatever you want. In the case of finances, it's working right now to bring those finances. It's working now. I don't have it now, but it's working now to bring it. You understand? And that's easy for me to believe if I could find it in the Word. If I could find a promise of God's Word, and He says, if I ask anything in His name, He'll do it for me. My faith is very strong that when I pray, and yours will be too when you find out what you're supposed to believe for, and that is that when you pray, you're supposed to believe that God's power has been applied to that situation and is working as of now. And it will continue working until you get all the way to Los Angeles. Get your manifestation, unless you turn off the switch. Turn off that car in Denver. Turn off that switch of faith. And you can do it any time just by saying, "I don't see any change. I guess I didn't receive anything." Or whatever else you might do, like Peter did. That power then quits working. And so, it's by knowing these things, we can not make these mistakes. And this has helped me because, have you ever seen a promise in God's Word that says, if you do this and that, you'll have this, and then you pray and you don't see it after a while, and you begin to realize, and it never happened. And you wonder why. This helped me understand that God always applies the power in His Word to the situation when I pray, and it's me that stops it a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Now I understand. Now my faith is strong again. Now I can go back and say, now I understand why I wasn't getting it. All I need to believe and to say with my mouth and to continue to act upon is the fact that God's power was applied to the situation the moment I prayed. That's easier to believe than believing that I have it right now, which I never really understood how I was supposed to believe that if I didn't really have it. You understand what I'm saying? So now I know what to believe, and that is to believe that God's power has been applied. Well, if you look at God's Word, it was there all the time. Turn to Luke chapter 6, and we'll see a few scriptures now that we've gone through this that show us that power always has to be applied before you receive the thing you're believing for. Healing power, God's power in His Word somehow has to be applied. In other words, like we were driving to Los Angeles, that car's power has got to be applied for a certain amount of time before you're going to see the end result of what you want. That is arriving in Los Angeles. Now, you could have the same exact process driving into your driveway. What's the only difference? The only difference is the length of the trip. And that's the same way with healing. Sometimes you'll pray and it'll happen just real quick. Other times you'll pray and it takes a while. But whether it comes very quick or takes a little while, the operation is the same. Continue to believe that power has been applied to that situation and is making a change. Okay, now Luke chapter 6, verse 19, I think it is.
"And all multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all."
Now, if you look at the Greek word for virtue, it's dunamis, which means what?
Power.
But the translators didn't understand that, I guess. They thought virtue sounded But really what we're talking about is healing power that went out of Jesus. So Karen, huh?
NIV.
Oh, does it? Says power?
Yeah, it says power.
Well, what do you know? Good. Good job, NIV. All right, so the whole multitude, go ahead, Karen, read it one more time there.
And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue or power out of him and healed them all.
Okay. Well, I guess the whole multitude would seek to touch him if there was power going out of him into them. Now, which came first there? Did the healing come first or the power come first?
Power.
The power came out of him and then healed them all. See, there it is. Power first, healing manifestation later. Always that way. It's always the power supplied first, healing manifestation comes later. Now, we need to know that. Because too many of us, when we're prayed for, or we go up for prayer, or whatever, are looking for the manifestation right that second. And if we don't see any change with our eyes, down in the dumps, we think nothing happened. And that's not the way it should be. Here, it's always power first, manifestation second. Now, sometimes it may be virtually instantaneous, but it's never instantaneous. I mean, you think it's instantaneous when you go flip that switch over there and the light goes on right here, up here. Okay, but is it really instantaneous?
It's really instant.
There's a lag there, isn't there? It's the speed of light. It's very quick. But that switch closure has to travel up to that light. You're laughing, but there is a lag. And in Jesus' ministry, you look at some of the healings where it's like instantaneous. But that power was applied first and then they were healed. Sometimes they weren't so instantaneous. There was a lag. Now let me ask you this. You think you turn that switch on instantaneous. What if you go out and turn your fluorescent lights on?
It takes them a while. It
takes them a while to get going, doesn't it? Power's going, has to warm that gas up in there, and it has to flicker a little bit, and then all of a sudden they're on. That power left the minute you flip that switch. But that lag before that light actually went on, there was something happening. Power was flowing. Power was working. But the manifestation of that light going on didn't happen instantaneously. You think, well, now I understand. It's never instantaneous. Even when you flip that switch, it takes a fraction of a second for it to get there. All right? See, the light is 186,000 miles per second, okay, which is many, many feet per second. But there's a few feet to go up there, so it takes some small fraction of a second for that current. Let me ask you this question. This is, let's say the sun, let's say there's an explosion on the sun that causes a solar flare. Alright? When you look out the sky and that solar flare has occurred, do you see it right away in the sun? No. You know, it takes 13 minutes for that light to travel from the sun to the earth so you can see that, you could actually see that with any instruments that you had right here. So you think, well, that's instantaneous. Well, it is on the sun. But as you get further away, there is a lag there. Did you ever watch in the Gulf War, when we're over there, these guys talking to the newscast? Newscaster says, well, what have you seen today riding around in that tank? And the guy goes, oh, what I've seen today? Why? Because that thing had to bounce off a satellite and get to him. And now we're not just going around the curvature of the earth, we're bouncing the signal off this satellite that's up there, way up in the sky, and then it had to be there and get processed up there and get rerouted and bounced down his antenna, go through his antenna wires up to where his little headphones are, and he goes, oh, you know. So you can see the lag. The power was applied, though, the minute the question was asked by the person in the newsroom. But he didn't respond or hear it, get the manifestation of that power, until a little bit later. See, what I'm trying to get across is, well, we all know that. We're not stupid. Well, I know that. But I'm trying to say, in this area of healing, when you pray, the thing you're to believe that you receive is God's power applied to your situation at that instant. And if you'll maintain that power, keep the switch of faith on, eventually the healing then will manifest in your body to the place where you can see it with your eyes, touch it with your hands, get sense, knowledge, evidence of what happens. But too many times we're shutting this off. We're turning that switch off before the healing is manifested, and because we think nothing happened. But yet, all this time, it's been working in there. That's the sad part, is people that die and are buried sometimes have had the healing power of God applied to their body for that situation, and they have turned it off and it's laying dormant in their bodies. And that's a fact. And it's scriptural. Turn to John 1:12. Since that was such a short verse, Karen, I'll let you read this one too.
I'm sorry, which one?
John 1:12. Talking about Jesus again.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Okay, so we're talking about here the new birth. And it's saying as many as received Jesus, in other words, heard about Jesus, believed about Jesus, and acted upon that belief, in other words, did all of that, to them he gave what, did she say?
Power.
Power. To what? Become something.
Sons of God.
Power to become the sons of God. What came first? The power of the sons of God. What came first? The power or the manifestation? The power. The power first. Then later, God put that power. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, immediately God's power is applied to your life to make you a new creature in Christ. All right? And then, do you notice any changes in your body right away? I mean, with me, I got born again. And when I did, when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, immediately God's saving power came into me, okay? But the manifestation of that wasn't necessarily visible to the naked eye yet. But over time, it will become there. In other words, one thing I noticed about a week later, I was out doing some work at this job I had, and then one of the guys was working for me had totally botched up a really important design that we were working on, and we'd spent weeks putting it together and this thing, and he was beating it with this huge hammer trying to get it installed, and it was a very delicate thing that we'd built. And I just came unglued at him, and I said, I let fly with some profanity. All right? And as I did, I remember, and in fact, it was God's name in vain. And when I did that, something inside happened. It felt like a little knife turning right down in here. I thought, ooh, I won't do that anymore. I'm a Christian now. But what I'm saying is, when I was born again, the power was applied to change my life. But everything doesn't change right away. But God's working on you. And the first time that I let fly with one of those words, God showed me in his own sweet way that wasn't acceptable. And I should quit doing that. And I did. That was the last time I ever said that word, was that time. But did it happen immediately? No. Another thing is, it says when we're born again, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. Mm-hmm. Okay? Now, does everybody automatically start walking in love when that happens? No, it's a process. You have to hear it, believe it, and act on it. You've got to say, this is the way, I've got this in here. I've got to let this love out. And I've got to quit just responding the way I was before. And you begin to apply this thing. And as over a period of time, that manifestation of who you are in Christ becomes apparent to the senses. Says it right here. Power first, manifestation later. He gave them power to become something. Power comes first. One more example. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Marianne, you can read this one. Verse 8.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth.
What do you receive when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Power comes upon you. All right? What's the manifestation of that? One of the manifestations of that power. You become what?
Witnesses.
You know? When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive power to become something. Just like John 1:12 says, as many as received them, to them gave he power to become sons of God. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you receive power to become witnesses. See, two different times. The manifestation of the power that you receive in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, one of the manifestations is you will become a witness. Now, if you receive baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have received the power to witness. You know, all this stuff about it not being your personality and stuff doesn't hold water. Once you receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the power to do it.
It's true.
All you need to do is be obedient and do it. And when you open your mouth, the power and the words will be there. All right? One of the other manifestations of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. But you receive the power to do that first. Then the manifestation later, really quickly. But it's up to you, really, whether you act upon that right away or don't. So many people, you know, don't take that second step. They have the power to do it, but they've never done it. See, and my whole point with this, and I think you see it now, is that all of these things, salvation, baptism in the Holy Spirit, when Jesus healed, when Karen read that scripture about him healing those people, it said power came to heal them. Power is always first. The manifestation is second. We've got it backwards. We think the manifestation ought to be there right away when we pray. And if it's not, if we can't see it with our eyes, then it didn't happen. And that's, God is saying, that's being a carnal Christian. That's being a baby Christian. That's not what my word says. My word says, believe the power is applied when you pray. And then if you don't shut it off, the manifestation will come. I know I've said this over, but this is the thing that will bring faith when you pray. Because it will keep your eyes from looking for, did any change in my body? Do I see the money that I prayed yesterday and it's not here today? Maybe he didn't hear me. God's word says in 1 John 5:14 and 15. I'll let I guess Chuck read this one. Verse 14 and 15, Chuck. This is the confidence, or maybe it doesn't say that in NIV. Yes.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us, or he hears us.
Verse 15 now.
And if we know what that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him.
Okay, so what's the key then? Asking according to his will. And what is his will? His word. So if you have found a promise in his word, there's stored power in that promise. Healing is in his word. Healing is always his will. Covered that, okay? So when you ask for healing, you're always asking according to his will. And if you know you've asked according to his will, then you'll have what you've asked for. In other words, when you pray, that if you're praying according to, well, you can't, that's why, that's a safety valve there. Do you understand that? You just can't pray for any old thing. You can't get mad at your coworker at the office and say, God, just knock him off his stool right now, you know? Just cause him to get sick this week, you know? I mean, that ain't going to work, because why? It's not according to his will. But you can find in his word what is according to his will. Prosperity is according to his will. Healing is in his will. Peace for you is in his will. A good marriage is in his will. All these things, these promises you can find in his word that are according to his will, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. But if you know he hears you, what you ask, then you'll have it. So you've got to know that it's his will, and then you have to know that when you pray, power has been applied to that situation. Okay? That's what that means. Now, it's almost 8 o'clock, and I haven't finished here. But I hate to, it's sort of like the other week. If I get started on the next section here, we're going to be there a while. Let me just give you something to think about, okay? Let me just quote Mark 11:24 to you. Mark 11:24 says, Jesus said, what things soever you desire. You desire something that's according to his will, like healing, or finances, if you've been tithing, or good marriage, whatever you want. If you ask anything according to his will, remember, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, we have what we ask for. Now, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, the King James Version says, believe that you received them and you shall have them. You know, that's always bothered me a little bit, because believe that you received them. What are we talking about if the them's there? What things soever you desire. Believe that you've received the thing you desire. But I haven't received the thing I desire yet. How could I believe I've received it? So I got thinking about this week, and I went back and I looked at that, and I looked at the Greek, and you know what the Greek really says for that scripture? Did you know there is no word them in there? And in the King James, in the NIV, it says it. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. That's not in the Greek. There is no word there. My little thing says, 9999, it says, and it says exactly this. It says, the word them was added by translators for better readability in the English. No actual word in Greek text exists in that place. So here's what it really says. Here's what Jesus really said. You want to know what Jesus really said? He said, it's pretty much the same, but listen, it's a little different. He says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have.
Let's see, that's better.
Yeah. So now we don't have to believe that we receive the actual thing right now. What we do believe we receive is the power applied to that situation, so that when we don't shut it off and it works for sufficient time, then we'll have the thing. It's a little different. It's easier to believe this way too.
Well, it's like when you prayed for the money, and it was the next day that the fellow came to
right.
the door. So, you know, God just didn't drop the money at your feet that day.
Exactly.
But it came the next day.
That's a good example, Ellen. Well, that's just, okay, I've got a couple of examples, just like, yeah, let me just, this will show it to you so clearly. If we don't receive the manifestation of what we ask for when we pray, we know when we pray, we know the manifestation, we don't see something with our senses right there immediately, do we? Normally. Power is applied first. Well, then what are we to believe that we receive? Now, Ellen just answered this question, but let me just ask you, answer the question with a question. If you turn in your time card and you're an hourly worker, do you believe that when you turn that time card in, he's going to hand you $50 for your money right then?
No.
What do you believe?
When payday comes, you'll get your money.
When payday comes, you'll get your money. But when you turn your time card in, something's happened, hasn't it? Power has been applied to that situation. When you turn your time card in, power has been applied to get you paid. If you don't turn it in, you're not going to get paid. But when you turn your time card in, power has been applied to get you paid, and then when payday comes, you'll get it. You see the difference? Power's applied first, manifestation later. Here's another example.
Faith agreement.
Huh?
It's also a good faith agreement.
Yes, it's a good faith agreement. That's a legal term. It's a good faith agreement. Now, when I used to send in my invoice, if you're self-employed, now this, if you're hourly, you turn in time. When I used to send in my invoice, I would say to Marianne, I want to get my invoice as soon as possible. Send it in as soon as possible and get it working for me. You understand what I mean? Because companies have a certain amount of time that elapses from the time they get your invoice until they pay, usually 30 days. If it's not such a good company, sometimes they wait 60 days. But until you send that invoice, power isn't applied to that situation. In other words, it's not working for you yet. They'll sit back at these companies and say, I never got your invoice yet. In fact, they say that when they got it sometimes too. We haven't seen your invoice. Send us another one. You know they got it. But that's another subject. But you send that invoice in and it's working for you. And then the manifestation of that invoice being sent in is a good faith agreement that you will get paid. That's the manifestation. Another example. When you ask for a raise and your boss says yes, do you believe that he's going to hand you that money right then? No. You trust that the power has been applied to the situation and that the next check, it will show up. Here's another example. When you water a plant that's droopy, do you expect that that plant's going to go bing immediately? It does it in the commercial?
Miracle-Grow,
yeah, bing. But that's what makes it funny, because that's not what really happens. What do we believe when we pour the water on the plant? What?
It will come back.
It will come back. We believe that power has been applied to the situation, don't we? And then after sufficient time, the manifestation of that plant blooming up, straightening up, branches reaching up and not drooping, will happen. See what I mean? That's what we're supposed to believe when we pray.
Aren't we glad that God is not like the companies?
Yeah. Yeah,
we have. Wait to another invoice.
Yeah, send in your invoice. Oh, did I get your invoice? God says, you know, I got it.
You know, you remember when Daniel prayed back at Daniel?
Yep.
He prayed. What happened, Karen?
Well, it was 21 days before he got his answer.
That was the manifestation, wasn't it?
That was the manifestation.
21 days.
He prayed.
What happened immediately when he prayed? Do you remember?
What? Oh, yeah. God sent, that's what I meant. God sent the angel.
God, yes. It said, sent the angel the moment he prayed. Mm-hmm. But Satan hindered him.
That's right.
And it took 21 days. So the angel told Daniel, it took me 21 days to get here because Satan hindered me getting here.
That's
That's
right.
And he said, then he sent Michael. And Michael bottled up the devil for a while, and I escaped and came here with the answer. Now, here's a perfect example. When he prayed, power was applied to the situation by God. But did he have a manifestation of that answer yet? No. And it wasn't until 21 days that he got the answer from the angel Gabriel. I think it was. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, he got the answer from the angel. That's the manifestation. Why do you suppose that's in the Bible? Who cares about this little item? It's to show us that God applies power to the situation the moment we pray. But that the enemy and other things, our confession, what we believe, how we're acting, what we're saying, whether we're looking at the waves instead of at the word like Peter did, whether Satan gets involved in there and we don't bind him in the area of finances especially, all these things can slow it up. But God's saying, the moment you pray, I send the answer. We can believe that we receive that the moment we pray. And then the final example is, when you get a shot of penicillin, you take your kid in, he's got symptoms of strep throat or something, and the doctor gives him a shot of penicillin. Do you expect that kid to go, hey, I feel great? All of a sudden, no. But what you...
Well, I'm going to get
shot. But the manifestation doesn't occur till later, but we believe it what? When the shot is applied, we believe that something has changed that situation. Power has been applied to that situation. The same way with healing. So next time you're prayed for healing, or you pray with somebody else, you can tell them what to believe. Believe that they... What are we to believe? We are to believe that healing power of God has been applied to our body, and it's working in our body to bring about a cure for the thing that we want, we've asked for. The moment we pray, we can believe that power is working. That's what we're supposed to believe that happens. Believe that we receive when we pray. That's helped me a lot in my in believing for healing, because I was always a little confused by believing you receive them, and I don't have it yet. It's hard for me to understand how I can believe I have something when I don't really have it. But I can believe that I received God's power applied to the situation, and that if I don't turn off the switch, that eventually that manifestation will occur. But unfortunately, too many Christians are turning off that switch when they don't see anything happen.
Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
Let's talk about lesson 40. The homework questions. And I've got the lesson here, but I don't have the homework questions. Okay, here we go. Lesson 40, homework questions. Last week's lesson. When we lay hands on a person and pray for healing, power is blank to get the thing we desire. What did we discuss last week? Power is what?
Present.
Well, it's present when the word is preached. But then when we finally lay hands on the person and pray, then that power that was present to the word being preached is what?
It's manifested.
Released.
It's released. It's not quite manifested yet. It's applied or administered to the person needing the healing, okay? The manifestation to that healing will occur either right away sometimes, or there may be a period of time that goes by. But one thing we do know, that when we pray for someone, and pray scripturally for someone, and we lay hands on them, or whatever we do, whatever kind of healing method that we use, and we're going to talk about several, then the healing power of God is administered to that. Stored in the Word of God's promises. It's like a battery. The Word of God is like a storage place where this power is stored. The promises are there. It's available, in other words. When the Word is preached, that power comes on the scene. It's right there. If I'm preaching healing in this room, the power to heal is on the scene. It comes through the preaching. Now, when we lay hands on somebody and pray, that power that's present through preaching is then applied to that person's body to bring about the healing and the cure. And then, if they don't do anything to interrupt the healing process that's been applied to their body, a healing will be manifested very quickly or maybe over a period of time if they don't negate or stop or hinder the healing power that's been applied to their body. Now, this is very important. Okay, so when we lay hands on a person and pray for healing, power is applied and administered to get the thing, the healing we desire. True or false? It is necessary to keep the healing power working until the manifestation of healing comes. True or false?
True.
True. See? Now, a lot of people think all healings are instantaneous. They're not instantaneously manifested. And we talked about the definition of manifestation last week. Manifestation of healing is when the healing becomes apparent to one of your senses. You can feel it, you can see it, whatever. The tumor disappears. That's the manifestation. But the thing that we have to believe when we pray, and see, and that's what people make the mistake of, is they instantly expect to see, and if they're disappointed if they don't see anything right away. And they think, I guess nothing happened, and they go on to find someone else to pray with them. And that's not what we're supposed to do. Every time we pray, the healing power of God is administered. Lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I never understood this until I really meditated on this and prayed about this, that God is saying, what I'm saying here is that when you pray for someone to be healed, I administer my healing power to that person, and it starts to affect that healing in that person. Now, what they do with it after that power goes into them is up to the person. If they right away say, you know, I don't see any difference, I guess I wasn't healed, they shut that healing power right down. And so it's necessary to keep it working. Name three things that can cause the healing power to continue working. What we talked about last week. Once it started working in your body, and we prayed, you say, what three things can cause it to continue working?
Give thanks.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. You know, when the doubt comes, and the enemy tries to say, you don't really believe anything, haven't you, pray? That's a good thing to do. Say, Father, I thank you that the other night, on June the 25th, when we prayed, your healing power was administered to my body, and it's still working in me, Father, and I thank you for that. That's a good thing to do. That will build your faith while you're waiting for the manifestation. Anything else?
Praise.
Absolutely. That's a wonderful thing to do, just to praise the Lord for the promises in His Word on healing and praising that His healing power is working in your body. Anything else?
Believing.
Believing. Not entering into unbelief. To continue to believe. That's good, Madge. Did you have your hand up, Thor?
Yeah, I want to go back to that one, saying it is necessary to keep the healing power working until the manifestation comes. Karen had a lump in the breast once about 13 years ago. She sprayed it, and nothing happened initially. But within 2 to 3 months, manifested. Now, was this healing power working during that period of time?
Absolutely. But it can wane, it can get strong, and depending on what we're doing. You know, as we keep our confession right, and that's another thing, is our words, that healing power is allowed to work. It's sort of like when Peter was walking on the water. Remember when he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you on the water. Then the word came forth, come. Okay? That was a promise, all right? He acted on that promise. That power was administered to Peter to walk on water right then. Now, what happened when he looked at the waves? That power started to shut down, didn't it? He took his eyes off the promise. He took his eyes off the power that had been administered to the spoken word of Jesus. And he got his eyes on the waves, and he began to sink. The power didn't just immediately leave. It just started shutting down. Because if the power would have immediately left, he would not have had time to say, Jesus, help me. He might have got out, and that would have been the end of it. But it said, beginning to sink, if you go back and read it. Peter, beginning to sink. See, that power was starting to shut down. And that's what happens to us when we pray for healing. Now, like when Karen had her thing and she believed the Lord, that healing power was administered to her body. That helps you when you pray for somebody to know that. Because when you don't have to believe when you pray that there's going to be an instantaneous manifestation of healing, and it doesn't happen, and it damages your faith, see, that's what the lesson was last week. Know what to expect when you pray. Expect that the healing power of God is being administered to that person right now, because God says it is, and it's going to work in their body. Now, if you're praying for someone, that's as much as you can do. You can encourage them to continue believing, you can kind of warn them about some of the things the enemy might start doing, but really it's up to them to protect that thing which is happening in their body. And like Thorpe has pointed out with Karen, she just kept her confession strong, and then after a period of time it manifested. But if you don't, you can cause it to wane. It'll be high and low depending on what you're saying, what you're doing, whether you're thanking God or whatever.
The rest of that testimony is that he said it's cursed at the roots tonight and gone. So when I went home, I checked, and it wasn't gone, but here's what I said. I said, well, it doesn't make any difference because by your stripes, I am sealed.
Praise God. See, now there's the key.
Yeah.
Keep the switch turned on. When you were prayed for, that switch was turned on. All right? The healing power was administered. There's going to be all kinds of temptations once you receive prayer to stop that healing power. Like right there, when Karen looked and nothing had changed. It's so easy to say, I thought maybe something happened. I guess it didn't. And that healing power will just begin to shut right down. Just like it did with Peter when he looked at the waves. He began to sink. But if you can just say, wait a minute, God's word says, and do like that, say, by Jesus' stripes I was healed. That will keep that healing power working, and you will 100% of the time get the healing. Because God's not kidding here. When he says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, now see, there's a lot involved here. There's a responsibility. Once hands are laid on you, you have some responsibilities there. You have a responsibility not just to look to your body, but to look to the Word. You have a responsibility to begin to say words in line with His Word and not what your body says. So that's a good example, Karen.
What would you say then, like, you know, I know earlier you said that we can take authority for our children.
Right.
What about somebody with Alzheimer's? I mean, because they're worse off than a child, really.
Right. If you have some legal power or moral power, in other words, I wouldn't, you know, someone that's a relative or something, all right, sure. Now, if they have it, now with older people, now with young kids, it's different because they start off, you know, when they're born, they're children of God. You know that, right? Until they reach the age of reason, they're going to heaven if something happens to them. And you have authority over them. Now, a person with Alzheimer's, you have a certain authority there, like on your mom. Now, if they haven't shut the door in their own life in some way before that happened, in other words, haven't said something to the effect like, I don't want anything to do to Christianity. I don't want ever have anything to do with it. I don't believe anything about it. See, you may have a hard time, even though they're kind of helpless, because when they went into that, they sort of had the door shut. You know, but if they've left the door open, you have an authority to go in there and pray with them. Now, I wouldn't stop praying for that, but I mean, sometimes people have said or done something in their lives that have basically started some spiritual laws working in their life that it's very difficult to overcome. If they can't act for themselves, then you, as her son or anything, can act for them.
That's correct.
Yeah. Get right in there. You know, Alzheimer's disease, you don't have to get Alzheimer's disease. I'll never have it. I'll never have it. I mean, I just know I'll never have it. There's just no way I'll ever have it. It's impossible. And it's not because of any, it's just because I know my rights in this area, and I know, I just know what the Word says, and I confess it, and I believe it, you know. And we can walk in divine health, too. That's another good thing.
Right.
You can walk in divine health to where you don't need healing. But you got to be careful. There's going to be all kinds of opportunities to get off of God's Word, to get out of love, is one example. Not walking in love kills your faith. You know, faith worketh by love. Strife kills your prayer life. That tells us that, 1 Peter 3:7. All right. When we get or see the healing actually occur with our senses, we have the manifestation of the thing we prayed for. True or false? Oh, I just read the blank. What am I doing here? I gave you the answer. I wrote it in here and I just read it. Oh, well.
Thank you, teacher.
Yeah. I gotta get back into my question mode and not in my teaching mode yet.
I think you forgot that one bit in front
of us. Oh, did I? Oh, name three things that can cause the healing power to shut down in our life. Okay. Give me one, Karen, since you were late. Unbelief. Boy, that'll do it. That's a biggie. Unbelief. All of a sudden you've looked. Confession, wrong words. Saying, I guess I wasn't healed because it's still there. The doctor said. Now see, the doctor, you got to realize, they're not ignorant. They're smart people. They've had good education. But they're looking to what exists that they can see.
Right.
Just like you are. They can't die. They can't look at anything that's spiritual in your body. Did you know there's no scanning machine? What do they call those things when they scan your whole body? What is that?
CAT scan.
CAT scan. There's no CAT scan that can detect what's going on spiritually in your body.
That's right. That's right.
There's no CAT scan that can detect something before it's visible to some sense. Even a CAT scan is looking on a microscopic level at things in the sense realm. You realize that, right? It's not looking at anything spiritual. But the healing power that was administered to your body is not, it can't be seen on the CAT scan.
That's right.
Now, after a while, the results of that healing power working on your body can be seen on there.
That's right.
But right in the beginning, it won't be. We don't understand these things.
But the doctor is giving you the information of what to pray for, too.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's not a bad idea to find out where your battle lies, to know your enemy, okay? Is it cancer? Is that the thing I'm battling here? Okay, so be it. No problem.
It can't live on it.
The name of Jesus is bigger than the name cancer. Absolutely bigger.
Amen.
All right. The switch of, okay, what are another one that caused power to shut
out
down?
Out of love.
Not walking in love. Right. Strife between a husband and a wife can cause the prayer life to completely diminish. 1 Peter 3:7.
Once in a while.
Well, we all do that, don't we?
Yeah.
But what do we do?
How
do we cancel the effects of that, though?
Make up.
Yeah. That's a good word for saying I'm sorry, or telling the Lord you're sorry, telling your wife or your husband you're sorry.
And get back into agreement.
Right. How can two walk together unless they be agreed, right? But it's important. You know, I'll tell you one thing right now that I've learned about marriage, if there's one thing, and that is, and everybody gets into disagreements once in a while. Get right back. Don't let that hang around. Do it right now. Race to say I'm sorry. It's hard sometimes. The flesh doesn't like it, but it gets easier after a while. Just say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. Because if you don't, it's going to build up inside, and if you don't do something, it's going to start shutting down all that spiritual stuff that you got working for you. And if you're believing for a healing or whatever that, it's going to start shutting that down. I mean, if people really understood what's involved in not walking in love, if they really understood the ramifications it has in their lives, they would never do it. It would be like not robbing a bank or something like that. Because when you get out of love, you let the enemy come into your life. It's not that God starts saying, well, hey, you're not walking in love, I'm going to start hitting you on the head about this and that. No. What you do, God just has to pull back a little bit. And 1 John 5:18 says, if we'll keep ourselves, the wicked one touches us not. He's the one we got to watch out for. So when we get out of love, it's not that God does anything bad to us. No. It's just that we walk out from under that covenant of protection that we have, and we're out on the enemy's territory. That's a dangerous place to be, especially if you're believing the Lord for a healing or something like that. You know, even with your kids, you know, once in a while they do things that are tremendously frustrating. No. But you've got to be careful that you deal with it in a Christian fashion. Discipline them, yes, but don't scream at them. You know, kids, you spank them, but you don't beat up on them. You know, I mean, there's... And if you do, you got to apologize to your kids, too. I mean, it seems kind of odd to go up to a six-year-old child and say, honey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I shouldn't have said, I yelled at you, screamed at you, and I shouldn't have done that. I had to do that to my son when he was little. I'd call him, you idiot. Because he'd do what I consider idiotic things, you know. But the Lord dealt with me about that. He says, you don't ever call him that. What did I say in my word about what you said? Say, thou fool. You don't do that to anybody. Because what you do is not only is it wrong, but you build a consciousness in that child that they can't do anything right. What's the use, you know? And then later in life, you have to deal with it. Okay. Where am I anyway?
The switch of faith.
Okay. The switch of faith is turned on for healing when we believe we receive healing power applied to our bodies and believe that the power is working within us to heal our body, true or false. True. That's what the switch of faith is. See, what the instant you're prayed for, that switch, if you receive it and you believe this, what that sense, that power is administered to your body, and that switch of faith turns that power on. Just like turning the switch on the wall when the light's going in here. That power starts to work. But what happens if I go flip that switch over there? The lights go off. I can do that by my confession, getting out of love, all kinds of things. When we say, I guess I didn't receive anything when I prayed because I don't feel any different, we turn the blank of blank off.
Switch of faith.
Switch of faith off. We don't want to do that. Peter did this when he looked at what his senses told him instead of what Jesus told him. True or false?
True.
True. Good. Hebrews 10:35 says that we are not to look to things seen, but to things unseen. True or false?
True.
That's false. Somebody looked up the scripture, didn't they? Absolutely right, Miss. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Good for you. See, I'm kind of sneaky sometimes. I'll sneak in a scripture, but I'll give the wrong reference. It's nice to know where some of these things are sometimes. Hebrews 4:14 says that we are to hold fast for profession, or firmly to the faith we profess, NIV. True or false?
True.
You looked that one up too, didn't you?
Yeah, your trick is on the last one.
Yeah, a little quiet. Well, really.
Right now.
Usually I won't give you two of those zingers in a row. What scripture says that we are to walk by sight, not by faith? None. Good for you, Ray. What says we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight? Anybody know? 2 Corinthians 5:7. We don't walk by I want you to walk by sight, not by faith, people. Is that,
hey,
wait a minute, that doesn't sound right.
What is it? What you say is what you get. What you see is what you get.
Right.
What you believe is what you get.
Right. If I don't walk in love, I can stop the healing process that has already begun in my body. True or false?
True.
True. Boy, everybody agrees on that one. What scripture says that faith works by love? Anybody find it? Now, if you had an NIV, you probably, if you tried to search on that, you might not have gotten it. Because it might word it just a little differently, I don't know. But it's Galatians 5:6. If I get into strife with my spouse, it can hinder my blank.
Prayers,
good. And stop the blank process.
Healing
process, good. The scripture that tells me this is, anybody know? What scripture says that we get in strife with our spouse that can hinder our prayers?
1 Peter 3:7.
Right. Boy, she's hot tonight. She didn't do her homework in the car. You could sure tell that. Good. Good job. Manifestation is when the thing prayed for has become apparent to at least one of our senses. True or false? True. Name the six senses.
Sight.
Hearing.
Sight, hearing.
See, hear, smell, touch. Taste, feel.
That's five.
Intuition.
There's only five, isn't there?
Yes.
But you got all five.
What don't some people say?
Intuition. Yeah. The sixth sense, you know, you might say is spiritual an inner witness. Sometimes it almost seems like another sense, doesn't it? If you're cruising with the Lord, you think, well, you know, everything looks good about that deal. Sounds good, looks good, but doesn't feel good here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Healing power is applied to the body first, and then the manifestation of healing comes later. True or false? That's not tricky. It's not a trick question. It's true. What are we to believe we receive when we pray for healing? Just in your own words. Now, this is just a summation of the lesson we had last week. What are we to believe that we receive when we pray for healing? That the what was applied? The power of God was applied to our body and will continue working until the healing process is complete. Now, it's up to us to make sure it continues working. There's a lot we can do to help it. You know, you need to constantly be saying, you know, Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. If you believe something, you're going to automatically speak about it. Now, it doesn't work if you start to speak, to force yourself to speak because you know that's what you're supposed to do. The speaking should follow out of what you believe.
Right.
But if you'll start speaking, even if you don't quite believe it yet, that hearing your own words say it, the Word of God will bring faith, and you'll find yourself all of a sudden, I do believe that. I do believe that. by Jesus' stripes. If you say God's word, that is. Okay?
Are you saying to speak it outwardly, or are you saying to speak it just like by a thought process, or mumble it under your breath?
Mumbling is okay. Speaking it out loud is okay. Thinking is not okay.
Why do you speak it out loud?
Hearing.
Because that's where the power is. The spoken word. Mark 11:23. How did we get saved? You know, you believe in your heart that Jesus has been raised from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. How? What did Jesus say? What did he do to the fig tree? Did he think fig tree? Die. No, he spoke, didn't he, to that fig tree. And he said, at least he remarked about it, Master, the fig tree which you cursed is dying. He said, have the faith of God. And then he told him how to have it. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, say, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So you got to say it. Okay, good job. You guys are getting good. You realize...
You know why we're getting good?
Because you're paying attention, and
well,
you come here.
A teacher.
A teacher's the Holy Spirit, you know, and I appreciate what you're trying to say there, man, and I appreciate it, and it does help.
We know what's inside you.
I'm just trying to bring what God says in His Word, and not just a bunch of good ideas. You know, I get together with God during the week, get His ideas.
We know where it's coming from.
Oh, good. And you guys are learning so much in here. I hope you realize that the things that you're learning here are priceless. You just can't go anywhere. And I'm not trying to lift up this thing here. I'm just saying this thing rightly divided will bring victory. It will bring set you free. Jesus said, what did he say? That you know the truth. If you continue in my word, he said, you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. You want to be free? I want to be free.
Amen.
And the only way to get free is to know what the truth is. And that's what we, hopefully, we're doing here on Thursday night, is bringing out what God's Word says. Not bound by any other traditions or anything that we have to uphold. I'm so free here. We're all free. You know, we don't have any axe to grind. We don't have any personal verse that said, you better not teach this, you better teach this, you better do it this way. I'm not criticizing anybody, but I'm just saying it's nice to be able to just say what the Word says. So,
amen.
Book of life.
Yes.
The same thing is it applies to any situation, though. It's not just healing, because when you were teaching right. this last time, I had another situation in my life, but I had turned off the faith. And when you were teaching about that the power of God was applied to our bodies and will continue, I had stopped than what Peter did.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at my circumstances and turned off the faith, so I instantly turned it back on. Well,
praise God. Karen, we all do that. Every one of us here does that. Uh-huh. And the thing that's nice to know is that you can turn it back on again. It's not gone forever. All you have to do is get it going again. Uh-huh. How did Peter get back to the ship? It just occurred to me. He walked with Jesus, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He got it going again. He got his eyes back on Jesus. Jesus took him by the hand and helped him a little bit. And God will help us a little bit. But, you know, get that thing turned back on. Repent, whatever. Say, Father, I'm sorry. I said something, Father, I shouldn't have said here. I just said, I'm not healed. I said, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with this situation. That's not what your word says, Father. Forgive me. Your word says that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and Jesus took my infirmities. Don't know what I was thinking. I'm sorry, Father. Forgive me. Get that healing power going again, just like that in your body. And it will. You know what I mean?
One of the most common statements that I find in the prayer line, it's all over the country, is when a person will come up to the prayer line for healing, to be prayed for, the first word out of their mouth, I'll ask them, what do you need from the Lord? And they say, I've got.
Mm-hmm. See, there's the problem.
It's mine, don't you try to take it away.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
And you got people like, yeah, but then you got to go through a teaching process to get them to turn it.
See, that's the thing. They need teaching, you know, and sometimes there's no shortcut to it. You can't just get it done right there in front of everybody at that instant. There's some things they need to know. Especially, we'll talk tonight, especially if they're Christians and they've been around the Word for a while. Mm-hmm. They need to act on that Word.
Absolutely.
Now, we'll talk about a situation tonight in tonight's lesson where people that don't know much, people who've never been taught, unbelievers, people like that, God's got a way to get them healed too. It's a little different than the others, but God's got a way, and that's tonight's lesson. We'll get
to
that.
What you're doing here is something that's sorely needed everywhere, Mike. So don't take no shortcuts, brother.
Well, thank you for your encouragement, Ray. I appreciate that.
I heard a good thing, too, that someone that's in the healing ministry is to tell the person that keeps saying they're pregnant with their healing. You know when it starts not manifesting, but I'm pregnant with that healing in me.
In other words, it's something growing in there. There's something
for 9 months we're expecting,
mm-hmm.
and not doubt it. And if we get in that mode with our healing,
mm-hmm.
that power is the power that's in you. And you just have to keep saying,
I have that working in me mightily right this moment. No matter what it looks like, no matter what the doctor says.
It's a positive statement.
Yeah.
When you're pregnant with it, you know it's in you. You know,
mm-hmm.
that's what he's trying to transfer to them.
And it's a continuous process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's working toward a culmination of something, a manifestation of a child. In this case, it's a manifestation of the healing that you can see with your eyes.
The process.
Touch with your fingers, you know. Yeah.
That's one of Dr. Joe's favorite things.
Yeah.
You know, you probably all heard the story about when he first started the ministry. And he didn't have a desk. He didn't have a bicycle. And that's the only way he could get around was on a bicycle. And he prayed, and that's what God told him. He said, you tell everybody you see that you're pregnant with a bicycle and a desk. So the manifestation comes, and he
faced
manifestation.
What God was just trying to tell him was that it's working.
Say it.
It's working. Say it. Continue to say it. A woman, when she's pregnant, says, you know, I said, when are you expecting? Oh, it's going to be in a couple of months. You know,
yeah.
You know, I said, well, I don't know, because anything's ever going to happen. You know? You better hope something happens.
That special takes a lot of
All right.